Hey everyone, this is Grace.
And this is Justin.
You're listening to the Perspective of a Hairdresser's podcast,
where we discuss the experiences between seasoned and unseasoned hairdressers alike. Welcome to our show.
How to pick your salon and kind of navigating the industry and finding a place that suits you best.
All right, cool. Well, mine was a little different because I got out of cosmetology school and I started at a small town, hole in the wall, maybe four chairs. Cute. It was a cute little boutique-y salon, but they used Aveda products and Aveda color. So that's how I got started.
Did you go to an Aveda school, or is that when you first got introduced to Aveda?
Yeah, no, that's when I first got introduced. And so I was there for maybe 4 months. I just, mind you, I'm from Huntsville, Alabama. So like Huntsville, while it not being that big of a city, it was, you know, the main hub of a lot of different areas, including it places in Tennessee. So after I left there, I wanted to work at a bigger salon right in the heart of Huntsville. That's just wanted to work in like kind of corporate-y, well-known, more established luxury multi-service salon. So and I did that for quite a while. I was in more of a corporate-based salon for 9 years, and then knew after the pandemic that I didn't want to be in a corporate environment.
Yeah. So when you went to Cosmo school, were you like introduced to different salons or anything like that, or did you kind of have to figure out on your own like where you were going to go after school?
The only salon that we were introduced to when I was in cosmetology school. Now, let me backtrack by saying we had guests and speakers come in and speak to us about their salons or whatever, but we never actually like got to go shadow or visit them or anything like that when I was in cosmetology school. The only salon environment that I was introduced to was the one that the owner of the school owned 5 blocks from where the school was. So we would just like walk over there, you know, as like a group. And, you know, if they needed shampoos or something, we would like shampoo for a day. Or so a few little in salon experiences, but not that much at all.
That's still kind of cool. So did you go with your first choice of where you wanted to go, or did you kind of shop around for salons?
I knew that I didn't, because I graduated from a cosmetology school in Tennessee. So I knew that I didn't want to be in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And the closest place from where I lived was Huntsville. And the closest big city was Huntsville. And like on the way to Huntsville, there's a little smaller, it's not even like a town. It's just like you drive through and it's like an area before you get to Huntsville. And there was like a little salon over in that area. So after cosmetology school, I was like, let me just go check out that salon. And that was my first salon that I worked at.
Yeah, I feel like that's always a good choice to like start off at, because I feel like a lot of the time you don't stay with your first salon. Like a lot of people hop around.
Yeah.
Like it's very rare, unless you're in a big city and you have a well-known name salon, that you genuinely stay with your first salon. When I was first like introduced to just like salons in general at school, it was kind of overwhelming because it was all like big name brand salons, because Aveda is a big name in the industry. Don't get me wrong. It's either you love it or you hate it. So we were able to get all these really cool big brand name fashion week people who have been in the industry forever. So it's kind of intimidating.
Especially being at an Aveda salon in New York City.
Yeah. So we were exposed to a lot of really cool opportunities. But yeah, it was intimidating. It was getting down to me graduating and everyone was like, oh, have you found a salon? Yada, yada, yada. And I was looking, but it was also, I was still pretty new to the city, where I was like, I don't know what would fit me best. I knew I didn't want to work in a corporate salon. I just didn't like the vibe of those. And I knew I didn't want to work in a salon in Manhattan, because a lot of the culture of a salon in Manhattan, where you make the most money, is you're just doing people who have a lot of money. Like, that's what you're doing. Like, it's all the same. Everyone's blonde or has, like, natural looking brunette
hair.
Also,
too, I feel like I apprenticed at one of those salons for, like, 4.5 months, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really connect with the clientele there.
Yeah. That's also a really hard thing, is because they're either always working on their laptop or they will not give you the time of day.
Yeah. Exactly.
With, for me, I was like, I won't be able to keep my mouth shut. Like, that won't be a good environment for me. That'll cause me to be unhappy. And it'll also, I know that I will.
Like, how do you grow relationships with these people? Like, yeah, you can't.
You can't even build the book because the people won't even look at you. But when I found the salon I currently work at, I actually found it on Instagram and I DM'd Kelly and we talked back and forth. And then we had an interview. And it went swell. I did a good job. Apparently, I fed the vibe of the salon, which was really cool. It was super intimidating coming in because it was the first time I had ever really been in a salon pursuing a job, not being in a salon just to get my hair done, like being treated like a client. Being treated as someone who's like trying to work there is very different. But I really loved it. I thought it was super cool, super cute. Small.
Mind you, we actually work at the same salon.
Yes,
so.
We do.
Shout out to the Wayward Hairdresser.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I was so nervous. My friend Lily came with me. She was my model for my blow dry that took 2 hours long. Apparently, I made a really good impression because Kelly told me that she wanted to hire me on the spot.
Love.
Yeah. And I thought about it for a while. I was like, instantly I knew I was going to work there, but I was like, I have to play hard to get. Like, I have to act like all these other salons want me because that's just what you have to do. So I was like, oh, well, thank you so much. Like, I'm not going to accept right now. Let me think about it. Whatever, whatever. And then I ended up having another interview. It was like a shadowing day. And that was really cool because I got to like actually be there kind of working and seeing how the salon runs and how everyone interacts, which is super important for people who are getting into the industry. Like, make sure you're not only there for like a meet and greet. It is definitely, definitely beneficial to have a shadow day and see it for yourself in the eyes of like you are working there. Like, see how the crew in the shop works and like how everyone interacts, because if you don't and you start there, like, and all this underlying surface drama comes up, or that the shop manager's never there, or like the director's never there, or like whatever, or this stylist is bitchy, like it. That is very important to like see the salon and work in it and like feel it out, because picking a salon is key to having a good career in your industry, in this industry. If you are at a salon that does not fit you, it is just never going to work out for you. You got to get up and find another place or do it on your own, because you don't have that support system or that good team morale. It is just not the vibe. That's never going to work.
What was your vibe? Like, what was the difference between the vibe that you got at our salon versus the vibe at some of the other places that you had been to?
I think something that really stuck out for me, what was different from our salon, is how much our boss really, really cares about us.
Yeah.
When I had a one-on-one interview with her, she was telling me, I remember this like it was yesterday, she was like, I would not hire you. I would not want you to be here if we couldn't feed you. She's like, we're gonna have everybody eat. Like, that is our motto here. Like, we are not just here to hire another number. Yeah. or another person, just like throw you in and like not make sure that you're not taken care of.
Makes the world of difference, because when I worked at some of the places that I worked at in the beginning, it felt like, from the overhead, it felt like we were family.
Yeah.
And we were going to be treated equally.
Yeah.
And you could, you know, run your own ship. You're your own boss. We are partners.
Yeah. Those broken
and we are business partners. And I'm like, well, your version of business partner and my version of business partner is very, very different.
Yeah.
I was just another cog in their wheel.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to avoid a lot of, because I had been in a company that was like that, where they just hire, and then they have nowhere to put these people, but they still like want you to work there, but they just like keep cutting your hours, or they just keep promising you something and it never happens, or they treat you like shit even though you work the hardest. Like, just that whole scenario of like them giving you all the things you could have ever wanted in the beginning, or just like promising you all these things and making it sound like it's all good and wrapped up in a bow, but it really not being that way, was something I was like, if I'm gonna make it here, I really, really needed money, and I needed to be able to survive. And I was like, still so very picky on where I wanted to be, just because I was like, even if I'm making money and I'm not happy, like, I'll just be bouncing around from salon and I won't have a career.
Right.
Like, I'll just keep having to start over. And I really didn't want that.
Also, too, location makes a big difference in where you are looking to build your clientele.
Yeah. I guess when I moved to New York, I knew that I kind of wanted to like fixate on Brooklyn a little bit, just because that's where I had spent the most time. And that's where I kind of felt like I fit in the most. I live in Queens right now, which I absolutely love, but in Queens, there is high-end salons, there are luxury salons that you can work at, but they are corporate. There are not a lot of like small business salons that are on the luxury side of things. Like, there's just mostly chop shops or like places that you can go and get a cheap haircut that aren't like, they just don't give you that luxury vibe. Like, you're not going to make a lot of money from it, and they're all very close, tight-knit people who work there. So me coming in already moving into a space that I'm not from puts me at a disadvantage of working there. That it was really hard to find a salon in Queens. And also, nobody goes to Queens unless you live to Queens. That's just like what it is. A lot of people will come to Brooklyn from Manhattan, or people will come to, like the other day, someone came from Boston to our salon. Like, people come from New Jersey, Staten Island. Like, people will commute to Brooklyn because it's, one, easier, and there's also more stuff to do here when you are coming here.
I know. I have a client who lives in DC.
Yeah.
And she like makes it a point to come up here, because she used to live here. So she's like, let me get down all my favorite restaurant while I'm here. Also, I need to get my hair done.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go see Justin while I'm here.
Yeah. Well, and also we have a lot of people who come from upstate to come and get their hair done. So that was another reason. But I think I just was really nervous about ending up in a place where I would be unhappy, because I had been unhappy at my previous job and I knew how that affected me emotionally. And I was like, this is a passion of mine that I'm starting a career at. I think I started at the Wayward when I was 20. I'm starting a career, like, I want to start it right. Like, I was making sure that I was in a good place where I could grow and be on the floor as fast as I could and get the education that I needed, and number one, to have people around me that love and truly support me and want to see me do good.
Yeah, that honestly, that definitely makes a world. I have walked in some salons and immediately felt the vibe of being unwelcome, and I'm like, no,
I hate that. I absolutely
I don't think I want to work here.
Yeah, it's like your competition, when in reality it's like,
oh, I hate that too.
You're not competition. You're my coworker. You do something different than I do, and like, you do something better than I can do, and I do something better than you can do. Like, that's just, that it is what it is. Like, it should be more of a team.
That's why we're considered artists, because we each do it all differently. There's no competition.
Yeah.
I hate when people, like, I have had people, authorities, in the past, and be like, oh, this is just healthy competition. And I'm like, what competition?
Yeah.
Like, I am on my own journey. So is everybody else in their own business. Like, literally gets under my skin so much.
Yeah, 100%. I think that healthy competition in the hair industry is code word for,
your salon is dying.
Yeah, your salon is dying, and you have a toxic environment.
Yeah.
So,
ooh, yes.
That's why so many people, that's why the boom of independent salon suites happened. Like, nobody wants that healthy competition. They just want to do their craft, work with the clients they love, and make money without it being like a whole showdown.
Also, too, I feel like, you know, regular salons could be that way too. I mean, I feel like our place is very much that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, like, you know, you come in, you do your stuff, you build your clientele, you do what you got to do. You're also working with like-minded hairdressers who are in their own rights, in their own journeys.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all at different places in our careers, but we come together and we make it fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's not rocket science.
Yeah. I feel like a big thing that has to do with that, though, is you have to have your boss be on the same page with that. Like,
yeah.
if our boss was not in the mindset of making a welcoming place for outsider hairdressers that don't feel like they fit in anywhere and just like have a place to create, then it's like we wouldn't have what we have right now. Like,
yeah.
I feel like she did a really, really good job with what she stayed true to and what she wanted, her vision. And I mean, it came true. Like, exactly what you're saying. We have all these crazy different people who are like nowhere near similar, but all work together in harmony because they want the same thing.
Yeah.
Hairdressers can do that. Hairdressers want that.
And that's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
It makes it fun to want to be there every day.
Yeah.
Well, 100%. Not every day, but.
Yeah. No.
Not every day.
Not every day. Picking a salon that you feel like you immediately fit in at, you feel the vibe. Like, it is very, you can feel the energy when you walk in a room to a salon. If it is a good salon, if people are welcoming and their vibe is cool, versus a salon that does not have any of those things, that is very toxic and hectic. Like, I just think it is very key to make sure you are in a place that you feel good.
What do you feel like is like two red flags for you?
Two red flags for me is, this has happened to me before, not in a salon, but also this kind of overlaps in our industry, is if you come into a place and you're getting trained, or if you're having an interview with like, not like the manager, but like somebody who like is the manager, but it's not the manager, you know, everyone has one like that. And they're already talking shit about other coworkers, or like already gossiping to you because like, they don't have anyone to talk to because they've already cut off all ties. That's a big red flag. Another big red flag is if the staff like treats each other bad. Like, that's already like, there's been something brewing for a while. Like, this is gonna explode.
Yeah.
What about you?
Ooh, probably my biggest red flag when walking into other places is if people aren't smiling.
Yeah.
Like, stylists behind the chair aren't smiling. If, I don't know, feels stuffy.
Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like you can definitely feel when somebody or the staff isn't having a good day because it's like written all over their faces. Like, granted, all of us have RBF for sure when we're concentrated, but I feel like when in our salon, when it starts to get busy, you can kind of feel like the volume rise.
Yeah.
But it's never in like a, oh my gosh, like we're busy,
hectic, hot, crazy.
Like, it just is like kind of like a joyous thing. Like, people are enjoying their time. Like, it's getting loud, like it's getting rowdy.
Yeah.
But like, not in a way where you feel like the ship is going down.
Right.
Like, it's just,
the ship is going.
Yeah. Like, it is a party. Like, people are having fun. Like, I feel like that, it's amazing.
Yeah. No, I love that. Also, my other biggest red flag is when it's other stuff being sold that's not hair product related.
Gotcha.
I can't stand that. I'm like, I don't want to sell your clothing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't want to sell your jewelry. I want to sell product. I want to sell my services. I don't want to sell your knickknacks that you bought at boutique warehouse.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that also like puts more expectation on you of like not just being a stylist, but also being like a retail salesman. Like, what was your like kind of introduction to this? How did you feel about the Wayward Hairdresser when you first started?
Mine was very, very different. I was just coming off of a year of being in a place where I was just completely fed up with the way that I was being treated. Now, also, let me preface this by saying, I was not treating them as well either, because I was retaliating on how that they were treating me.
Yeah.
So I kind of have a little different perspective as far as like coming to the Wayward Hairdresser. I had a very good friend who I value her opinion so much, and twice she has given me two really good options for places to go check out. As far as like being in the area, being in New York, mm-hmm. I didn't really have anybody in New York. So the last place that she gave as an option to check out was the Wayward Hairdresser. So
that's cool. Wait, was she like a client or how did she know?
She also worked in the industry.
Oh, gotcha.
And she lived, her and her partner had a condo in around this area.
Mm-hmm.
That I live in. So she was like, awesome. Oh, by the way, check out the Wayward Hairdresser. They also they also use Aveda products, which I'm very like partial to, basically.
Yeah. It's hard to want to relearn a color line after you've been using it for so long.
Yeah. I went to talk to Kelly.
Well, also, they were so new at the time.
They were
well.
So new.
So
yeah.
She was probably like starstruck. Like, oh, you want to work here?
Probably, I don't know. But yeah, it was very different. I liked the vibe. It was all the stations were the same. And,
but it was just Hazel and Haley May, right?
Haley May was there. I don't know how many days that she was there. I know that she was there, but the first couple of times she wasn't there. So I didn't officially meet her until later. Because at one point in time before the pandemic, literally week before the pandemic, Kelly invited me to go to a hair show with her and Hazel, and Haley May was going to be there, but Haley May was very apprehensive to get out to go to a hair show and be around people at that time. And this was before anything shut down. Mm. So it was, you know, very, very new.
Yeah.
And so I ended up going with them. And
that's really cool. I didn't
know
that.
It was like our first like outing apart from like meeting at the salon.
Yeah.
So anyways, my interaction with them was very different. It was still very new. She was still getting her bearings together.
Mm-hmm.
And figuring out where she wanted to go as a salon.
Yeah.
And I was reluctant and happy to help in my own personal way in that journey for her, to see her succeed.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it was different. It was fun, though. I loved it.
Yeah. You definitely feel like in, by comparing the two of where you were at before and where you're at now, do you feel like it's like, but when you were first introduced, do you feel like it was more positive than the one before? Do you feel like it was like the same?
1,000% over, it was more positive. Because I'll tell you this, the other place that I went to go interview at, it was a whole process. I mean, it was a corporate salon, so it was very much come in, sit down, have an interview with me, and then have an interview with the VP of the company, and then have an interview with our manager, and then you have to go be an apprentice, even though you've been a hairstylist for, you know, 11 years.
Yeah.
You have to apprentice and put in your time, and even though I only did that for 4 months, I was still like, really?
Well, I feel like that wraps up kind of what this episode's about.
Perfect. What a great way to end.
Thanks for listening to our show. If you liked what we talked about, subscribe, maybe like, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.